It's nice, too.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we'll continue on with our agenda, still under your public hearing for rezoning provisional use permits. The next item is 399-07, which is C-59C-07 in the Fairfield District. Norma C. and Gloria J. McCowan. This is a request to condition rezone from A1 Agriculture District to R2AC, One Family Residence District Conditional, approximately 1.56 acres located at the southwest intersection of North Road and Edgefield Road. Planning Commission voted to recommend that the Board of Supervisors grant this request. Mr. Emerson.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. As you noted, this is a request to rezone from A1 to R2AC to allow the development of an additional single-family lot. The 2010 land use plan designates the property urban residential, which allows a higher density than requested. The request is consistent with the existing single-family development in the area. To ensure quality development, the applicant has provided a proffer statement addressing finished floor area, foundation materials, and exterior materials. C-59C-07 is compatible with adjacent land uses, continues the existing development trends in the area, and contains assurances of quality that are consistent with the adjacent neighborhoods. Staff recommends approval, and the Planning Commission at their November 8th meeting also recommended approval. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to try to answer them.
Any questions, Mr. Emerson?
Mr. Chairman, would you see if anyone who is against this case?
Public hearings. Anyone in the audience in opposition or have any comments on this case? Don't see any, Mr. Thornton.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, not seeing anyone in opposition to this case, I want to thank the Planning Commission. Say to Mr. and Mrs. McCowan that they've done their stewardship and bring that information to us. And so at this point in time, Mr. Chairman, I would recommend that we follow the recommendation of the Plan Commission and grant the request.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Thornton, second by Mrs. O'Bannon. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Case is granted.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, the next two items would be considered together. The first one is 400-07, being zoning case C-55C-07 in the Fairfield District. This is Lakeside Town Center. It is a request to conditionally rezone from B2C, Business District Conditional, to B3C, Business District Conditional, approximately 2.73 acres located on the west line of Lakeside Avenue at Timberlake Avenue. Planning Commission did vote to recommend the Board of Supervisors grant this request. In addition, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, there is a request for a provisional use permit, also for Lakeside Town Center, on this subject property. And this is a provisional use permit under sections of Chapter 24 of the County Code to operate a farmer's market permitted under the category of an outdoor commercial flea market within a 4,500-square-foot area located on the subject property, which is being considered for rezoning. Planning Commission also recommend the Board of Supervisors grant this request. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we would hear both items together, and of course, we would have to vote on each one individually and separately. Ms. Moore?
Thank you, Mr. Manager. This is a request to allow an operation of an outdoors farmer's market on a portion of a property known as Lakeside Town Center. The property, as mentioned, is located on the west side of Lakeside, across from its intersection with Timberlake Drive. Outdoor farmer's market falls under the category of commercial outdoor flea market, which is first permitted in the B3 district with the approval of provisional use permit. Therefore, this presentation does incorporate both. The property was rezoned to B2C in 2006 via KC1C06, and the building has been renovated as part of the Enterprise End program. The proffers accepted with that case have been or proposed to be carried over, and to mitigate potential impacts of the proposed B3 district, the applicant has proffered to limit the hours of operation and signage to the regulations of the B2 district. In addition, the only use first permitted in the B3 district would be the outdoors farmers market. The boundaries of the farmers market would be a maximum of 4,500 square feet and would be located within an existing parking area on the south side of the building. Within this area, vendors would be allotted stalls or spaces to sell produce from the rear of the trucks or temporary stands. It should be noted that this is the first application the county has processed for an outdoor farmers market run by a private entity, and therefore staff is recommending several conditions, which is included in your staff report. Some major conditions I will mention include that the farmers market shall be open no more than 2 days a week between the months between the time of May 1st and November 30th. The latest time it'll be open will be 8 p.m. Only produce and processed foods regulated by the Virginia Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services shall be permitted for sale. Therefore, arts and crafts, prepared food, outdoor live music, and the sale or consumption of alcohol would be prohibited. Temporary stands, tents, and all refuse would be removed at the end of the day. A market manager would be designated to oversee the operation of the day-to-day farmers market. And prior to operation, a plan of development would be submitted and approved by the planning department. Staff is also recommending something unique because it is a new use. We are recommending that the PUP be reviewed by the director of planning on an annual basis for a period of 3 years. Overall, staff believes the use would be in keeping with the land use plan's designation for commercial concentration and with the redevelopment efforts for Lakeside Avenue Corridor. And we support this recommended B3C zoning and the provisional use permit, provided that the use is controlled by all the conditions recommended in the staff report. Planning Commission recommended approval at their November 8, 2007 meeting. This concludes my first presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions of Ms. Moore?
Well, Sam, what you see today is whether or not there's any opposition.
It's a public hearing. Does anyone in the audience wishes to speak to this case? Have any concerns?
I just have one question. I think this is great. Has there been a lot of requests from vendors and from the public for this meeting?
That Mr. and Mrs. Francisco could talk about the actual request with the vendors that they have in line. We have received many, many emails and letters of support regarding this use.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay. All right. Mr. Thornton?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I want to say that, too. I received several petitions in favor of this initiative. And I recall some time ago when the Franciscos thought of this initiative, which I thought was rather visionary at the time and still is. And also, this is rather fascinating in that this is the first time that Henrico County has such a facility. So look like we got ordinances in proper place to take a look at it over a period of 3 years to make sure that it is run in a very positive way. And I really think that this is a novel idea, and looks like it is a good marriage for that vicinity on Lakeside. And so to Mr. Silver, I also would like for you to convey my best to the planning staff member who worked on this also, and I really am very appreciative, along with Mr. Archer there. And so this is a kind of new day for Henrico County and this type of initiative, Mr. Chairman, so I am going to, at this time then, I move that we follow the recommendation of the Planning Commission and grant the request for the Lakeside Town Center LLC C55C07.
This is for the zoning itself, okay? All right, we have a vote
by
Mr. Thornton, second by Mrs. O'Bannon. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Case is granted. And the provisional use permit is the next item.
And I also, for the next one, also
for the provisional use permit,
move that we follow the recommendation of the Planning Commission also for this request.
Okay. Motion by Mr. Thornton.
Second.
Second by Mrs. O'Bannon. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Case granted.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, the next item, 402-07, being the Creighton and the Burnham case, has been deferred until January 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
We move into your other items this evening. The first item, 403-07, is a resolution. This is for amendment to the fiscal year 2007-2008 annual fiscal plan. Mr. Walter.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, and Mr. Manager. I am here to please to present an amendment to the fiscal year 2007-2008 budget. This amendment was introduced at the November 27th Board of Supervisors meeting, and the public hearing for the amendment was advertised in the December 4th Times Dispatch. If this resolution before you, the resolution before you will amend the annual fiscal plan and appropriate the funds for expenditure. A brief overview. The total amount of the amendment is $17.5 million, of which $16.6 million is in the operating budget. The general fund component is $2.2 million. The special revenue fund component is $140,000. The internal services fund component is $16.6 million. And capital project funds are $975,000. The majority of funding in the general fund is for social services programs, including TANF and VUE programs, and therefore additional allocations of state and federal funding. There are two large amendments in the internal service funds. The first, which is a total of $4.8 million, is for risk management, and this is funding to support anticipated expenditures for the workers' compensation and property liability program for the balance of the year, and these funds will come from the self-insurance reserve within the general fund. The second amendment in the internal service fund is for $9.4 million, and this is the funding that will establish the self-insurance health fund for the county. Beginning January 2008, the county is going from a fully insured health insurance program to a self-funded health insurance program.
That $9 million is the amount of premiums that will be paid in that six-month period or something to that effect?
The total amount of the program, Mr. Cackley, is $36
million. But we already got $26.
$26.6 million is already budgeted within county line items, and that is the portion of the program that is paid by the county on behalf of its employees. The $9 million is the balance of funding, which is the amount the employees pay for their portion of health care.
Kind of like a premium payment, but that's for six
yes,
months?
Sir.
Or is that for the rest of the fiscal year?
That is for the 6 months from January 1st to June 30th.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
The majority of those funds will be used for claims. Also included in this amendment is, for informational purposes, is an allocation from the education bond reserve that was established for construction cost increases related to bond projects. And this is an allocation of $2 million for the Verona High School cafeteria renovation and classroom addition. And that's what I have as a brief overview. I will be glad to answer any questions I have, and this is a public hearing.
All right. Any questions, the board members?
Those capital improvement, that last fund you mentioned for the cafeteria, is that part of all of the capital improvements? Because I thought you mentioned that was $900,000.
The total capital project amount of the amendment was $975,000.
Right.
The reference I made to the allocation from the reserve, that is at the end of the amendment and it's for informational purposes.
Oh.
When the FY 2008 budget was appropriated, the there was funding set aside, $3.3 million in a reserve for a school bond project.
Right.
And those projects, when those funds were allocated from the reserve, it was agreed to that those would come before the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah, this is just to help make up for the shortfall.
Yes, that is correct, sir.
From the reserve, and we indicated we would advise the board when these occur.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the same, or on the previous page, the construction and maintenance, or for the Freeman High School renovations, that
But that's coming out of the bond issue, but not
interest.
Designated to the Freeman, or what?
Yes, sir, it is. It goes to Freeman High School. This is a result of a shortfall in reference to the renovations at Freeman. We were looking for this funding to assist the school system. We were able to find it in the interest earnings, which were recorded as a part of the 2000.
Just from the bond referendum?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay, they need all the help they can get.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Freeman High School renovation cost, how far off is that, you know? I mean, how much do they need?
This actually completes that Walter's getting it.
The amount approved in the 2000 bond referendum was $23,759,000, and this $250,000 will cover the projected shortfall.
That'll cover the whole shortfall?
There were some other fundings that they had swept in from projects, but this was the remaining portion that they could not find, and they came to us for assistance, and we were able to pull it out of the interest earnings. This will give them sufficient money to move ahead with the renovations at Freeman, yes, ma'am?
That is correct.
Okay. What was the, I know it came to more than the bond referendum cost. What is the actual cost?
The bond referendum piece was $23,759,052.
Right.
There was an appropriation in September of 07 of $789,000, and that was also interest earnings.
Okay.
There has been money reallocated from other bond projects and a lottery project that were complete and have remaining balances available of $1.4 million or $1.2 million. This $250,000 will make the project whole. The total cost with all the reallocations is $25,968,283.
They, in essence, Ms. Adana, needed $2.1 million.
That's what I was asking. You did a very good job of explaining that. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Byrd Middle School project, which is it's coming from fund balance.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Right. Any other questions?
Excellent.
Public hearing. Is anyone in the audience to speak to this item?
In reference, clarification, in reference to Byrd Middle coming from fund balance as a part of the capital initiatives?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mrs. Ann.
That's correct.
Yes. Motion will be in order then.
Okay. Move the resolution.
Second.
Motion by Mrs. O'Bannon. Second by Mr. Thornton. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, you had previously heard 376-07, which was involved with the Tree Hill consideration for this evening. The next two items, Mr. Chairman and members of the board, 404-07 is a resolution for signatory authority. This was an extension of a lease at 8611 Dixon Powers Drive. As I had previously indicated, we were to advertise this for proper form for a public hearing this evening. Apparently, the advertisement was not placed in the Times Dispatch due to an error on their part, and it would be necessary for you to consider deferring this item until January 22nd.
January 22nd.
Do we need a motion to do this?
Yes, ma'am, you do.
Move we defer Resolution 404-07 to January 22nd.
Second.
All right, we have a motion by Ms. O'Bannon, second by Mr. Thornton. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Like item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 05-07 is a resolution for signatory authority. This is a quick claim of a drainage easement for Spring Lake located in the Fairfield District. The same circumstances, it was to be advertised. It was not advertised in the paper. It will need to be deferred until January 22nd.
I move that we defer this resolution until that specified time.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Thornton, second by Mrs. O'Bannon. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Price, you got off lucky this evening, sir.
All right.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we go into public comments this evening.
Mm-hmm. This is the time that we set aside to let the audience speak to the board on any issue that's not on the agenda this evening. And you don't have to sign up to be able to speak, but we do have a couple that have already signed up, and we're going to take those first. And if anyone else wishes to speak, they may do so afterwards. Mr. Manager?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, ladies and gentlemen in the audience, of course, comments are addressed to the Board of Supervisors. We try to hold those to 5 minutes unless there is need for a longer discussion, at which time the board would consider adding it to the end of the agenda.
As the chairman has indicated, there were two individuals, one who had previously signed up and one who has signed up this evening. First individual is Mr. Bruce Richardson. Mr. Richardson?
Good late evening, members of the board, and Mr. Chairman, Mr. Donati. This evening, I wanted to speak with you guys in reference to an issue related to schools within Eastern and RICO. Each of you guys should have received email correspondence in which I forwarded to each of you early last week. I will also leave my written notes with the deputy clerk. But there was a letter drafted, and I would like to read the text of that letter. The letter is actually drafted to Mr. Fred Morden, 4th Superintendent of Schools in RICO County Public Schools, and the subject matter is East End Communities United for Change, reply to your letter dated July 3, 2007, related to proposed improvements at Fairfield Middle School and school board meeting held on November 29, 2007. And the letter states, Dear Mr. Morden, the East End Communities United for Change sincerely appreciates the continued open dialogue that has been established among the superintendents of schools, including staff, the school board, and several of the elementary, middle, and high school principals in Eastern Henrico since our initial draft to Mr. Jackson, our school board chair, and your office in June of 2007. East End Communities United for Change initial draft centered on embracing changes at Fairfield Middle School concerning school safety, accreditation, community involvement, community growth assessments, overcrowding, and academic achievement, to which our parents made a promise that they would step up and get involved in the educational success of our children. Furthermore, the draft expressed and focused on creating a joint effort between our group, the East End Communities United for Change, and the Henrico County Public Schools and the school board, working in tandem with concerned parents, taxpayers, with a primary goal of ensuring that students in Eastern Henrico receive a first-class education in an environment conducive to learning, ample resources, and equitable learning facilities or structures. On June 20, 2007, upon receipt of our draft, your office, which included Dr. Marilyn Royal, Dr. Jean Murray, Mr. Michael Dickerson, and Mr. Fred Morden, held a meeting with several of our concerned parents, in which you made several commitments to our group. Those commitments were that our group founding member, Mrs. Fletcher, and a second concerned parent of our group would be involved in the interview and selection process for the next principal at Fairfield Middle School, and that Fairfield Middle School would be undergoing a $13.6 million renovation, which at that time was considered the largest renovation of any Henrico school, starting in August of 2007. I received a follow-up letter dated July 3rd from you stating that you shared our goal that all Henrico County students receive a first-class education, an environment conducive to learning, ample resources, and equitable learning facilities and structures. Your letter also states that an enhancement of $13.6 million in renovation is currently in the design stage, and you anticipate bids being received by the school board at the September 13, 2007 board meeting. In an effort to gather a status update regarding that $13.6 million Fairfield renovation project from the school board, many concerned parents and myself attended the November 29, 2007 school board meeting. At that meeting, during the public forum, I spoke to the board and the superintendent inquiring about the status of the proposed renovations at Fairfield Middle School. I had been informed by many of my concerned parents that their sons and daughters attending Fairfield Middle School had been placed into trailers, classes had been reorganized, and student-teacher resources are limited in anticipation of the proposed renovations. Mr. Morden, several of our concerned parents, Eastern Henrico taxpayers, have raised serious concerns that the school administration is focusing taxpayer dollars in western sections of the county, per shifting those funds for the Fairfield Middle School renovations to fund the design of the Deep Run High School and Tucker High School field houses. approved at last night's board meeting. However, the eastern section of the county is faced with a lack of ample resources. There were parents who spoke from John Roth Middle School who expressed, teachers who spoke from John Roth Middle School who expressed that as well. They talked about the inadequate learning facilities and structures, such as the Fairfield Middle School proposed renovation, in a poor environment for learning versus the superintendent's goal of creating an environment conducive to learning. Our group would like to request, or East End Communities United for Change would like to request answers to the following questions. Can you elaborate more on the awarded contractor for the Fairfield Middle School renovation project? When does the administration anticipate a notice to proceed being issued to the awarded contractor? What will the duration and the major enhancements that the $13.6 million project will yield? East End Communities United for Change would also like to have the Henrico County School Board Administration and Henrico County School Board submit a written correspondence to address and resolve Eastern Henrico Public Schools' shortage of resources for our teaching professionals, such as lack of textbooks and reference material, and inadequate administration resources such as copiers, staffing shortage, and funding shortfalls for planned curriculum. In closing, East End Communities United for Change overall goal is to advocate for the safety and access to personal growth as students and human beings for our children, because they are our future and we love them. East End Communities United for Change remains committed to a continual open dialogue with Henrico County Public Schools Administration based on factual and accurate inquiries and answers. We invited, of course, the school board and the administration to our next group meeting, which is scheduled for Wednesday, December the 12th, tomorrow, at 6 p.m. at 3829 Mile Road in the meeting room. The administration, as I stated, has been invited. And in January of 2008, we will be changing our meeting dates to the second Thursday of each month versus our normal scheduled date of Wednesdays of each month. I say this, and I preference this with the fact that I have spoken with the school superintendent this afternoon. Late this afternoon, I received a call from the school superintendent. We have still many issues and many bridges which need to be addressed in the Eastern Corridor. And I apologize to a young man in the rear of the room, because I felt sort of compelled to speak earlier with the Tree Hill project, because we once again are going to be those schools in that Eastern Corridor, primarily in the Verona area, Rolfe, and some of the elementary schools along with Verona High School, is going to be flooded, of course, with the anticipated growth that will be the residual effect of this Tree Hill renovation work. We bring these concerns to the school board because we bring these concerns to the Board of Supervisors, because the Board of Supervisors has a direct correlation to funding requests from the school board. And we think going forward with the exponential growth in the Eastern Corridor, we're going to need to rely heavily on the Board of Supervisors to get many of our tasks accomplished. I thank you this evening, and I am available if there are any questions. Thanks a lot.
Any questions?
Well, have you received answers from the superintendent or the school board on those questions?
They will be attending our meeting tomorrow evening, and we hope going forward those questions will be addressed. One of the areas I didn't touch on, accomplishments. There have been accomplishments made with the school board working in tandem with our group. We've increased our participation at PTA, at Fairfield Middle School. We've gone from sort of a real small group to over 300 parents participating in Fairfield Middle School. There was a shortage of teachers. There was a high teacher-student ratio at Arthur Ashe Elementary School, and we worked in tandem with the school administration to bring on board another teacher and to lower that teacher-student ratio. So we know there's a can-do spirit that can be done. The one thing that we want to do is, I think in the past there's been sort of no group working in tandem, and that's really our synergy here, is that we want to work in tandem with the school administration. But we're going to continue to piggyback with the Board of Supervisors, and we appreciate the opportunity this evening.
You had mentioned in your remarks that Fairfield was the largest renovation for any school.
Comment made from Mr. Morton.
Well, it's not, because Holland Springs High School is the largest, and that's currently under renovation now, at the tune of about $23.1 million.
And Freeman's is a little more than that,
right,
too.
Then Bolana is coming online.
Mr. Chairman, Members Board, it may be the largest middle school renovation that's okay.
Maybe middle school, yeah.
Yeah.
Sir, are you familiar with the 2005 bond referendum?
I am. I moved to the area, and Mr. Thornton is aware. I do want to thank Mr. Thornton for his continued support, but I moved to this area in 2005.
Okay.
And so I am somewhat familiar with that bond. In that bond referendum, there was a shortage. Am I correct in that, Chairman?
Yes. That'll be
well, it's definitely a shortage in reference to Fairfield Middle School.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
But the bond referendum itself was $349 million. And of that $349 million, $150 million of it came to Eastern Henrico, well over 40% of it. And about $100-plus million of that $150 that came to, that's coming to the eastern portion of the county, is related to school projects mainly. So I didn't know if you were aware of that or not. But
I try to do some initial research and make sure that any figures.
You might want to get a copy. Staff can get you a copy of the bond referendum in the projects that were slated, you know, for the next 7 years.
Okay. And one of the areas, in closing, I guess one of the, although these are school-related issues, we, our group, has worked in tandem on some successes. We wish to continue those successes. Because it just bodes well with the, as I mentioned earlier, the exponential growth anticipated in this eastern area. We really need to address this and sort of get ahead of the curve, if you will, in addressing some of these issues. Thank you.
Mr. Richardson, before you leave, I'd like to say this to you. First of all, it is good to have a person, although many of this issue is more tangential the school system, but it's good for you to come and articulate that to us and for the group that has been established, because it can advocate. And I want to compliment you on how you come up in an articulate way to kind of show us how you grasp the challenges, and we have some from time to time. And so my suggestion would be this also. In addition to that fine committee that's been established, the concern group, the other thing that would be very beneficial would be to make sure that those persons who are on that committee and others learn process. And that, I think, is something that would be helpful to them. And part of that learning of process would also mean that they have to find the documents so they know what to request, so they can ask their questions much more skillfully, and then therefore they'd be able to get those answers for them. But I really commend the way that you have addressed the issue, and do let the committee know that the board did hear you tonight, and it is always good to keep those things in tandem, as you have said this evening. So keep up the good work and keep up the diligence, and make sure that the people in what I call the Eastern Corridor make sure now that they get involved a little bit more, not just to complain, but to get involved and get more information. Because that's what stewardship, that's what citizenship is all about, and I compliment you on how you've come tonight to articulate the need and the whole problem there relating to education, because in conclusion, every group of youngsters is important when you look at it from the education perspective there. So I, as an educator, I definitely heard you, and we're going to do our part.
Thank you again. Thanks.
Mr. Richardson, I received your email and read that, and appreciate the concerns and objectives of your association. And I thought there was some concern, I guess, on your part and the community's part on the transfer of funds. Have you become more familiar with that so that it, you understand that there's not a ramification on the project?
Yeah, and to speak to that, we are familiar with those shifting, that shifting of dollars and how it may be placed back in that budgetary line item for the renovation. It will be, I guess, roll back into the renovation work. To get to the crux of this, where the concerns came from the community, is that we were told, there were communique, that this work would start at a certain time frame. And so the issue, when we were at the school board meeting on November 29th, and we requested a status update, and it was, the status update wasn't provided. It was yet the award of work for the renovation or the field houses at Deep Run and Tucker would move forward. Some of the parents who were there raised the question of why are they shifting these dollars. Mm-hmm. And I understand what Mr. Thornton has stated about learning processes. I think the concern was it was just the way it had been communicated to some of our parents. It raised a heightened concern, if you will. And mm-hmm. and that's something that we look forward to the opportunity tomorrow evening to speak directly to the school board and to the administration to have these issues addressed. Right. We plan to stay vigilant. We plan also, this is not at all, and I want to be clear in this, and I believe the school board will say this, I believe the administration, this relationship has not at all been adversarial. This relationship has been very productive. And that relationship I'm referencing is that our group, the administration and the school board, has been extremely productive. I guess where we've come to a crossroads, or disconnect, if you will, as Mr. Morton and I discussed this evening, was to communicate that this work would be, bids would be forwarded to the board in September. And we have students who are at Fairfield Middle School who have been rehoused and reorganized in anticipation of this work, and the work has still not been brought forward. So understand, this is not a concern of adversarial nature. This is a concern that we have students who are being housed in environments that may not be conducive to the best education.
Mr. Richardson, you're a very nice, polite man.
I am, and I'm trying to be that way.
And I'm just going to say, we allocate the money, but you also need to talk to the school board, and you're going to do that. I know.
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Our next speaker, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Brian Wink.
It's being too nice.
Good evening, manager and board. I asked a few questions last meeting about Elko Middle School, and I never got to seem to get a correct answer or answer to anything that I asked. So I'm going to try to be more specific in my questions. So all you got to do is say yes or no. First question is, did the citizens of Henrico County or the families of the children who attend Echo Middle School aware that the school was being built without a sewer system?
Well, you can finish, Mr. Wink, but let me say in reference to that, yes, they were, because there was a lot of deliberation in reference to the funding which had to be provided for the school and the aspects of how the school would operate until that sewer was completed.
Well, the next question is, were the citizens of Henrico County aware of how much money was going to be wasted in pumping this tank, the holding tank?
I don't believe, as I recall, may have been on the school side, but on this side, on the Board of Supervisors, we did not provide any indication of the cost for that pumping action during that period. No, sir.
Okay. Is the area that's where the, I guess, the truck has to go in and pump, is it fenced off and locked up for health reasons?
I can't answer that, sir. That's the responsibility of the school system, and that, of course, is where you'd have to get that answer.
Okay. And also, how much it's costing us?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You know how long it took to build the school?
I did not keep track of it, Mr. Wink. I honestly didn't. I could get that for you. That's very easy to do.
Okay, because I think the time that the school was built, you would have had enough time to run a sewer line to it.
No, sir, that's not exactly the indication that was made during the process to where the money was allocated by the Board of Supervisors. We were very much aware that the school would open before the sewer was complete.
And is there any law that is there anything in the law that allows the county to build a school without a complete sewer system?
No, sir.
Because if it was, I want to get a copy of it, because I want to try to do that. Does the county have to go through planning and get permits to build a building?
Yes, sir.
And is it inspected like any other building in the county that's being built?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir, for y'all's time.
Yes.
Anyone else in the audience wish to speak? Yes, sir.
If you would identify yourself, because we didn't have you signed up, but you're perfectly, you have an absolute right to speak. We just need to know who you are, sir.
I'd like to get along to the board, chairman of the board, the other district colleagues up there. My name is Rodney Booker. I'm an East End Henrico resident. I come kind of a co-representative of the East End Coalition for Change, but I'm a little different from his group. I'm actually part of or indirectly involved with the school systems out there. In Arthur Elementary School, I'm the vice president of the PTA out there. And some of the concerns that Mr. Richardson brought forth to the board kind of runs in mind what I have to present to the board. And I'm kind of new to the position, second year, so I'm probably up here more like a sponge than I am knowing what I'm, you know, kind of like talking about. But some of the things that I did want to bring to the board's attention, one of the questions and some of the concerns that we are having maybe need to be addressed to the school board at their meeting this Thursday, mm-hmm. but the same problem with some of the moving of the funds from the Fairfield School renovation project over to Deep Run and Tucker High School field house projects. One of the questions a couple of parents had was, you know, why is the field houses such a priority right now to renovate, being a Deep Run is fairly a new school? And where in line are their field houses in line with the other field houses in the county? A lot of the parents wanted to know why that was such a priority and why the money, they couldn't wait until the money is allocated from the lottery funds in July to do that, rather than taking from a Fairfield Middle School project that badly needs it. You know, for to get better understanding of it, they just want to know, you know, why is the funding being moved around like that, and why is that project at a standstill, where you got a school like Fairfield Middle School that desperately need funds, and a fact where you don't even have enough textbooks for students to take textbooks home. From the studies, I have a nephew to go to Fairfield Middle School. I don't think they're accredited, and I don't think they even passed the SOLs this year. And they don't even have enough textbooks for every student to take one home to study. But in a sense, they want to move money away from a school that badly needs funds to build field houses at Tucker's really not a new high school, but Deep Run, which is a fairly new high school. That's some of the concerns. And then some of the parents were saying, as far as being in the PTA and dealing with the school and the parents, they want to know, do Henrico County, are they saying that, you know, moving money to a sports theme activity as far as the field houses are more important than moving money into an academic setting? I mean, that's a question some of the people posed to me. They also, again, want to say, well, why couldn't they wait until July and use the lottery money to renovate their field houses then and leave the Fairfield renovation project money alone? I can't answer that question. Only the board or the school board can. But also quoting from a copy of the superintendent Morton's letter, he was saying that this was the second such loan that was borrowed from Fairfield. The first one was for Henrico High School arts classrooms. $900-some thousand was moved out of that. A lot of the parents felt like that was a viable transfer because you're building art classrooms and not building fieldhouse stadiums for a sports football field or whatever like that. And also dealing personally with my school, elementary school and the middle school, working directly, being part of the executive board at the PTA, I work closely with the principal. And this is the part where I really need, I'm going to be a sponge and absorbing all the information I can and taking notes. Being part of the PTA, part of our process there at the school is to kind of like pick up the school on the side that they lack funding in from the county. And we do. We have an effective fundraising program out there to help our students out and the teachers and the principals on a lot of the things they need to help educate our children out in the East End. But the list that we've gotten in the last week or so is astounding to me. I can't understand why the principal will come to me with such a huge request, and I'm asking her, where's the county in all this, as far as examples of, you know, not having even enough chairs in a, what I would say, a assembly-type program. Like, we have a Christmas program that's coming up tomorrow night, and she don't even think she's going to have enough chairs for enough parents to even sit down in. You know, people going to be standing up in the assembly looking at their kids on the Christmas program and lining the walls. Also, as far as the cafeteria tables, in the cafeteria, we just got tables with just single chairs. She said she sent in requests to the board to give her 4 or 5 more cafeteria tables with the stools. And she gave me some of the reasons why it's important to have those cafeteria tables with the stools to better control the discipline of the kids in the cafeteria, to cut down on the bullying, which is part of the problem in the schools now, kids getting bullied, with kids are not letting other kids sit down and they saying this is my seat or whatever. Also, it gives the teachers and the people in the cafeteria better student control. Mm-hmm. Also, they don't even have enough TVs in the classrooms to have video educational programs for the kids, and they having to put 2 classrooms together just to have 1 TV so they can watch 1 program. You know, and also the population growth with the school, with the additional subdivision that are built around the area, they just put in brand new floors in the school, new tile, but they don't even have enough of custodians to even clean those floors at night. They only have time enough that the county allows them for hour per hour to clean the school just to do the classrooms. And they only have 1 full-time custodian at the school. They don't even have enough walkie-talkies to have security for each classroom to have a security so in case something happened like, I wouldn't say it would happen to elementary school, but like Columbine or anything, they don't have enough walkie-talkies to get in contact with each classroom. Also, every other elementary school in that area has keypad entries on their outer doors except for the main door. Mm-hmm. She said, we don't even have keypad entries. Mm-hmm. Also, she said, out there, it's not a Title I school under the nutrients program, the food program with the state. Mm-hmm. She said over 52% of her students out of the school have free lunch, and it's putting a real big strain on the the budget at the school where they have to make sure all the kids have at least have something to eat, or those that can't afford it, a lot of the money to be able to eat. And some of the problems like the tables and the chairs and all that stuff, she coming to the PTA for that money. And as a sponge, like I said before, I just want to know who can I get in contact with, or what kind of programs or anything the county has that we can say, hey, look, can you go down there and check on Arthur Ashe? Can you see what they need? Can you see, can you get them the resources that they need to help better educate our kids, my kids? I have 2 kids there and a nephew that's going at Fairfield. just so as part of the PTA board, we don't have to get this long list of things that we need, you know, for our kids. And I think that's kind of piggyback on some of the things he's saying out with the what he's thinking, and some of the other kids, they may be parents, I'm sorry, that have been misconceived about the money being shifted around from the east end to move to the west end. How can we get that actual resources that we need? I mean, that's some of the things that...
Mr. Booker, you're addressing a lot of policy decisions that go on within the school board that this body is not responsible for. We provide funding over to the school system. It is an independent entity that expends those funds. We can only provide funding in several areas. I would suggest that, as the gentleman, Mr. Robinson, said before, Mr. Richardson said before you, that you do meet with the superintendent and the administration along with the school board. Some of the things that you're mentioning, I'll go in back. With the renovation of this school, I suspect, now, I don't know this for a fact, Mr. Booker, but I suspect that a lot of these things that you're talking about, such as the security efforts and so forth, are going to be addressed as a part of the renovation because there was a change in scope. In other words, they changed what they were looking at in reference to the school to include security aspects. So they may very well be going to do all of this. I do not know the details of the project, but I do know that that is occurring. It may be in reference to the maintenance activities involving chairs and tables and so forth. That is something that should be taken up with the administration and the school board. They should be very much aware of that. The principal, quite frankly, should be taking that up with the administration and not the PTA. Now, in reference to funding from the community, I will tell you that there are policies within the school system to where they look to the community, to involve the community. Yes, it does assist the school, but it also puts the parents in contact with the school and helps a community relationship there. And so they do that as a routine basis. But again, I think in reference to some of the things that you have told me, and this is only me, I don't work in the school system, but I would suggest to you that perhaps the principal again needs to be talking to the administration on what is expected as far as routine and normal school funding and what should be looked at coming from the community. Mr. Booker, in reference to the $134,000, it does not impact the project. It has been indicated, it is in writing, that those funds will be put back on July 1. And I think Mr. Richardson also knows that. That project won't be let until it gets into the next fiscal year. So that and the money that went to Henrico High School will be put back on July 1. There will be over $1 million put back into that project. There's a shortfall in that overall project for the change in scope in reference to the security increases, and also there's a sanitary sewer issue that has to be repaired. And so the school system, again, is looking for additional money, and they will find it, in reference to the overall project, but that is what is delaying that project somewhat. It will be bid shortly after, I would say sometime, I would expect it to be bid sometime probably late summer, early fall, in order to take care of all of these things, the security aspect, the change in scope, and the sanitary sewer and some other items that they found when they got into the overall project. But a lot of these things you're talking about, you really do need to sit down with the school administration and the school board. That is where the responsibility is. It's very difficult for the Board of Supervisors, while I'm sure, and they can speak for themselves, has an expression of concern for each of these items. There's very little that we can do except create and emphasize the same thing that you are. There's a need for communication. There's a need for the school administration and the school board to understand your concerns.
Out of the, just a couple of follow-up questions, out of the 2005 bond referendum that you were speaking on earlier, the $349 million, $150 million of that going to the Eastern Corridor for the schools out there, is there a itemized breakdown of what money went to certain districts and where would I be able to find something like that?
The school system can give it to you, or if they do not, and I'm sure that they will, sir, there's a gentleman here this evening who's probably taking notes, and we can get it to you, or if you call my office, I can give it to you because it comes right off the bond referendum questions. We're more than happy to give that to you.
Okay. I think that's pretty much it. I understand being new to this this position and just being speaking out of parent. I don't speak on behalf of the board. Some of the issues came up through the board, but as a parent and me being at school every day dealing indirectly with the teachers and the principals, I see a lot of the things that's going on, and from the beginning I thought that maybe a lot of this stuff would be school board issues that I would take up with them, but just to try to get some clarification, because I knew y'all do set the money aside. Mm-hmm. I kind of wanted to know what those numbers were, and I'll try to get those.
Mr. Booker, if you would simply write down your name, address, and telephone number on a piece of paper and give it to one of those gentlemen right behind you, I'll make sure you get the information you need.
Okay, thank you.
So that's one of the basic issues is this board does collect the tax money, but the school board is a separate and elected body. They come and ask us for the amount of money, and we pretty much give them almost usually what they ask for. Then they get to divide it up the way they want to. And the types of things that you've mentioned are their decisions, the policy decisions, as the manager said, of where the money goes. So although they ask us for the large sum of money, once we give it to them, they're the ones that get to make the decisions of exactly where it gets divided up. So although we get to make the first decision, the rest of what you've said, and you've said a lot of different things, so it becomes their decision. So when you talk about those specific things, that's really an issue with the school board, how they get to decide. They make the decision of to where that specific money goes to once it leaves us and goes to them. And they're elected, too.
Sure.
A separate elected body.
Is a gentleman, which gentleman are you?
Right, you can stand up or raise your hand.
Just give it to anyone up there.
All right, well, thank you so much,
Mr. Booker. One other point of information that might be helpful to you, the funds transferred to Deep Run and to Tucker High School were not to build any buildings, athletic facilities, for design only, because Deep Run High School was built without a field house. They won't probably know a high school without one. And to have a design complete and on hand allows you to build the building as soon as you get the funds. And so that's it's not for building any athletic facilities. It's only to get the design in place so when the funds are appropriated, we can move forward.
And, Mr. Booker, a little pragmatic advice, too, that you probably already know. One of the first things that you probably want to at least consider is the elected official that represents that area there. Obviously, that person has to be very much a part of groups like yourselves. And that person is the person that can really bring that things into fruition. So that's another part also as you're learning about the process. Get that elected official. Let him know what are the needs of that particular school. Get him to be involved. You got a new person coming up now. So get them involved, and I think you'll find that to be rather efficacious if you do that.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to address the board this evening?
My name is William Spencer. My wife is Dr. Spencer. She's not here tonight. Mm-hmm. It's brought me to attention for these schools. Years ago, I came to Jackson World Frank, and down there, my daughter was in there, Oscar Moten, the principal of the school, the Carver School. He knew him. He knew every student in that school, every name of that student in that school. He'd go around and say, how do you like the school? I think that what we need to do with these principals in these schools, I know we got a lot of kids in these schools. I think they need to talk to some of the students. How do you like the school here? And I think it would help some quite a bit. The teachers got a problem with these schools. They can't do everything because the plan's not right. So they got a problem. And they need more money and there's a lot of things. We're going to lose a lot of teachers before it's over with. I had a man at my house, a teacher at one of the universities. We talked about it at my house last week. Had lunch Thanksgiving with him. It's a serious problem with these schools. And Frank can tell you, it's a serious problem. I go to them, look around. It's a terrible problem. But the official people need to sometimes get into these areas where these people let and talk to them sometimes. And I think Patrick is the governor of Massachusetts. He went into Roxbury, talked to the students, the young kids, and they enjoyed it. One of my, where I used to live at, the superintendent went up to Roxbury. She couldn't stay there. It was a bad situation. But I think if some of the officials would go around sometime and talk to some of these young people, I think it would help quite a bit. I think it really would help. To get into those areas, in low-income areas and talk to them, I think we talk about it in my house with my wife, Dr. Spencer. And I've been married 53 years, and y'all pray for me because I'm going to the hospital next Wednesday to get surgery on my knee. I hope it works all right. If it don't, I'll call an undertaker.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak this evening? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, County Manager, Board Supervisor. I was listening to the concerns of the people.
Could you identify yourself, please?
Sorry?
Could you identify yourself?
Oh, I said Lynette Goode. I'm Lynette Goode. And I was listening to their concerns, and I want to say to them, like Mr. Thornton said, that the burden has to be shifted back to us as parents, and we have to get involved as a community. And we want to blame everything on the school system, but you have to learn the process of the school system also. I am a resident of Henrico County, and my daughter goes to Hermitage. And today, you know, I was listening with the deep run issue because this issue came up in my daughter's humanities class with the deep run field house. And there's a big problem in our society with obesity. And that field house, when education and field house, we need to get our children active because when we get them active physically, that means mentally, we can get them more aware to pass SOLs. Also, we have to learn how to, I'm an advocate on teaching parents, schools. I go around the schools and teach them how to read labels so that they can make better choices in their lifestyle. So it's very important. It's, you know, they allocate the money, but we as parents, we as taxpayers, we have to go to our elected official of the school board and say, okay, where is our money going to? I don't, you know, I'm sort of playing devil advocate. I don't think it should all be shifted back on the board of supervisors because that's not, you know, they allocate the money, but still the school board has the burden to put that money wherever they choose to put it. And you go to the principal, you go to whomever you need to go to make sure that those concerns that you have are addressed. And the PTA is a good organization. And I say and I encourage to get more people involved in the PTA, because the PTA has a lot of more control than the school system does when it comes to the parents. So I just want to make that statement.
Good advice.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay.
If you would, ma'am, identify yourself as you begin.
Good evening, almost tonight. My name is Megan Fletcher. I am a parent of a sixth grader at Fairfield Middle School. I am also I was selected to step up to be the vice president of the PTA at Fairfield Middle School. Mm-hmm. I am one of the parents, well, as Mr. Richardson just stated, I'm one of the founders of the group East End Communities United for Change. I actually walked door to door in about 7 neighborhoods to get the concerns of the parents in the area about the school there. When my son was about to go to the sixth grade, I had deep concerns. One was the safety, because the perception of the school wasn't good. So I did my investigation as a parent, concerned parent. Also, there was concerns about the teacher turnaround ratio and actually the situation with the principal that was there. But having to, just listening to your comment, ma'am, I agree 100%. So I stepped up as a parent in the area to try to gather all the parents together to do their part. Not to complain, but to work together. I actually stepped out and in the mornings go and visit, just stand out by the bus stop, not actually the bus stop, but the parent drop off, and say, hi, my name is Macon. let's get more involved in the school. So that's one of the ways that we got back and got to teach, well, I'm sorry, the parents to actually get involved at the school. That's one of the ways that the PTA membership there risen. But I just wanted, you know, that to comment on what you were saying, that we are doing our part to step up now and to be involved with what's going on at the school, with the school board. That's why we are addressing, you know, asking questions as to why things are going the way that they're going, why the monies were being sent back. Because, like Mr. Richardson stated, when we left our open dialogue with the school board, we were told one thing. Then when we went to the meeting and the monies were taken away, or however you want to say it, to another school, it caught us off guard. So again, we were doing our part to try to help the school with the parental involvement. We were doing our part asking the questions as to how we can help. But when we were sidetracked, that's where the questions, you know, I was upset. I can truly tell you I was upset because my child is in a trailer. My child, they had the iBooks, you all know. Some of the, if you all know about technology, in those trailers you don't get it's interrupted a lot. So, you know, and it's funny because it's not funny, but a story my son told me. He said, Mom, one of the little boys at school do not have an iBook. And I said, why? I thought all the children had an iBook. He says, well, his mom couldn't afford it. And also, they don't have internet at home. So when we got to the school initially and found out that we didn't have enough textbooks for the children to go home, that was a deep concern of mine. The textbook is a traditional learning tool that we've used for many, many years. So I did my part and asked Mr. Mayo. We had an open dialogue back to back. What can I do to help get textbooks to these children? Because, for example, my son's friend, who can't use an iBook, which the teachers are mainly using, he couldn't do his homework. So what could he use, you know, if he didn't have a textbook? So deep conversations we had with Mr. Mayo, a month into the school year, we had textbooks coming, and they had textbooks. But I'm not going to take too much of your time. I guess you pretty much got what I want to say. Mm-hmm. But, again, we are doing our part and stepping up and trying to, you know, come together and have more parental involvement at the schools in the East End. So that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak this evening?
This is why I love being on the Board of Supervisors. This has been a great civics lesson, because this is exactly what you need to be telling the school board. I very much appreciate all your comments, because this is exactly the input that they need. Because although we give them the money, they're the ones that do that, you know, the shifting and so on. They make those decisions. So,
Mr. Manager, we're moving to the general agenda here.
We do, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Moving into the general agenda for this evening, the first item is 406-07. This is a resolution. You see these from time to time each year, authorizing and providing for the issuance of not to exceed $30,800,000 principal amount of general obligation public improvement bonds of the county for the purpose of providing funds to finance certain school improvements, fire stations, and other facilities in the county, fixing the form, denomination, certain other details, approving the sale, approving the form and distribution of the preliminary official statement in connection with the sale of such bonds, and authorizing and approving other actions with respect to the issuance and sale of such bonds, and ratifying certain acts and proceedings. Mr. Patokas.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Manager, the resolution before you will authorize the issuance of $30.8 million in general obligation bonds on the bond market as planned and approved by the Board of Supervisors in the fiscal 2008 capital budget. The bond issuance itself was authorized by the county's voters in the March 2005 general obligation bond referendum. Mm-hmm. This is the third of seven planned issues that arise from the 2005 referendum that was authorized by the citizens. As an aside, all of the issues arising from the November 2000 general obligation issue were completed last fiscal year in fiscal 2007. On December the 6th, the board received a letter that showed that these bonds will largely fund capital projects for schools and the Division of Fire. As far as the actual issuance of these bonds, an early January 2008 sale is anticipated. The resolution before you has been prepared with the guidance of bond counsel, our county attorney's office, as well as our financial advisor, Mr. Jay Conrad, who is also here tonight. Starting tomorrow, assuming you concur, your concurrence tonight, we will have a number of teleconferences with the three rating agencies, mm-hmm. and the ratings they declare on these bonds should be received by the county prior to the holidays. Should you have any questions about this resolution, I can attempt to answer them, and Mr. Conrad is in attendance as well.
Do you have an idea of what kind of rating you're going to receive?
There was a conversation that, to answer the question, no, although if we had issued today, mm-hmm. we would be in the low 4% range.
He's referring to your ratings as far as...
Oh, I'm sorry. I have a general idea of the rating. Yes, ma'am. We anticipate clearly maintaining... our triple A ratings.
Mm-hmm. I move the resolution, Mr. Chairman.
All right.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Kaki, second by Ms. O'Bannon. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Next item, Mr. Chairman and members of the board, is 407-07. This is a resolution for the receipt of the audited annual financial report for fiscal year ending June 30th, 2007, and acknowledgement of discharge of the duties and responsibilities by the audit committee. Mr. Sotokas?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Manager, I'm pleased to present you with this resolution that acknowledges the receipt of our audited annual financial report of the county for the fiscal year which ended June 30, 2007. This audit performed by KPMG reflects an unqualified or clean opinion for the county's general financial statements. The resolution before you also recognizes that the audit committee, which includes Ms. O'Bannon and Mr. Donati, met on May 8th, May 22nd, July 24th, October 23rd, and earlier today in an effort to meet and complete its duties. Mm-hmm. In the audience today or tonight are two representatives from KPMG, Mr. Rob Churchman and Mr. Tim Connor, as well as our accounting division manager, Mr. Clarence Daniel, and our accounting section manager, Mr. Tim LeClaire. They're seated to my right. I also want to note that this audit was greatly aided through the efforts of our internal auditor, Mr. Gary Martin, who is also in attendance tonight. Finally, members of the board, Mr. Manager, this audit will be available for viewing online, as is our practice, later this week within the Department of Finance webpage.
All right. Any questions?
Okay. Move the resolution.
Second.
Motion by Ms. O'Bannon, second by Mr. Thornton. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
And thank you, all you gentlemen, for staying here all evening.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, your next item, 379-07, is an introduction of ordinance. This is to participate in the John Tyler Alcohol Safety Action Program. This item was brought to you for introduction on November 13th. I requested that you defer that due to some concerns that we have had since then. I have met with judges from our general district court, and we are ready to move ahead. However, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, because it was an introduction, we need to provide you with a substitute motion in order that we can change the advertised dates. I have for your consideration a substitute introduction ordinance paper that I've labeled 379A-07. The only difference between the original introduction of ordinance paper and this substitute paper is that the substitute contains the new dates for the public hearing and legal advertisements that were necessitated by the deferral of the original paper on November 13th. Mr. Chairman, do you wish to consider voting on the substitute paper, sir?
Okay. Do we need to introduce the substitute paper first, then?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do. Okay, I move that rather than 37907, we substitute introduction of ordinance as 379A07.
All right, we have a motion by Mrs. O'Bannon.
Second.
Second by Mr. Cackney. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Opposed? Motion carries. So now we have a substitute motion.
I move the substitute motion for the substitute paper 379A07 for the introduction of the ordinance.
All right. Motion by Mrs. O'Bannon.
Second.
Second by Mr. Thornton. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Goodbye. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 408-07. This is a resolution for signatory authority. This is for amendment to the architecture and engineering services contract for the animal shelter. Mr. Proto.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this resolution would authorize the county manager to execute an amendment to the design contract for the animal shelter in the amount of $39,496.25. This funding would fund additional services necessary by the architect to extend the construction administration required by delayed performance by general contractor, as well as to supervise the implementation of certain remedies in connection with some defective work performed by the general contractor. We have actually already recovered the administration of making the corrections to the defective work in the amount of $13,816 by way of change order to the general construction contract, and we would anticipate recovering the balance or approximately $16,000 for the extended time that will be required to execute the work through assessment of liquidated damages, which we anticipate we will probably assess against the general contractor. We have had some issues with this contract. We believe that it is now back on track, and we would anticipate at this point completion of the animal shelter, which will be located at Woodman Road, by the end of March. If the board approves this resolution, I would ask your indulgence to make one correction in the resolution that was a typographical error in the last line of above the comments. The number $257,359.25 should be $237,359.25. The figure above is correct, but that one is not. I apologize for not catching that before this evening.
What sort of effective work was it? I mean, can you give us a little general?
Ms. O'Bannon, there were numerous things that were not properly executed. We had problems with the roof. It actually started with problems with the foundation, and really just a very difficult time with the general contractor getting things correct. It was primarily a problem with the supervision provided by the general contractor. It took the general contractor some time to realize that. Once he realized it, we convinced him to change the personnel on site. The severity of the defective work was so severe that for the first time that in my experience with the county, we actually had to put a stop work order on the contract and in fact asked the contractor to leave the site until we could get him to get organized, so he lost about 30 days because of that. But despite all that, we're pleased to say that we do believe they're back on track, and we do expect the contract to be successfully completed in about 3 more months.
What was the original amount was several million dollars.
Oh, of the construction contract?
Yeah, the construction contract.
I can give you that number.
Third change?
$2,880,461.
And who's the contractor?
Davis Brothers Construction Company.
Davis Brothers. Where are they? What's their address or location?
They are local. I'm not sure what the address is.
Well, I don't need the actual address. Richmond address. That's all I know. Okay, Davis Brothers.
This resolution for architectural and engineering changes only, right?
Yes, sir. That's all. And this does not affect the value of the construction contract. It's only for the supervision of.
Correct errors that were in the construction?
That for the implementation of, to make sure that the corrections that were made by the contractor were performed correctly.
Well, I understand.
During the execution of a general construction contract, we, in addition to my staff, we also have...
I understand that, but what about the correction of the problems? Is there any cost involved with that?
Not to the county, sir.
Huh?
Not to the county.
Okay. Are we in litigation over?
No, sir. No, sir. We believe that all of the defective work to this point have now been corrected. No cost to the county, except for the cost that involved the additional services of the architect, which we are bringing forward to you this evening, which has been recovered in part from the general contract by way of change order.
And we do anticipate the rest of it to be recovered.
Yes.
This is the third change. It's kind of a bad scene, isn't it?
Well, this is the third change, Mr. Cackley, but this is the only change which involves the defective work that I'm talking about.
Ms. Proto, you mentioned the name of an entity that was doing the work. But are they still in the completion, or you got another contractor?
Oh, no, sir. They will complete the job.
They will complete?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Proto met with the representatives of the company. I met with representatives of the company. The stop order was issued. After reviewing everything, the president and owner of the company did make the necessary changes in reference to the supervision on the site. They were allowed to return, and they have been extremely cooperative in making the necessary changes without cost to Henrico County, and we do anticipate this cost will be recovered through the processes of the project. It's unfortunate, but I think it is back on track to Mr. Proto and his efforts, and I think that you will receive an extremely well-qualified building, and I think the contractor will also take pride in it once it's finished.
How far along is it? I haven't driven out to look at it, but how far along is it?
It's within 3 months of final completion, so it's 75%. Now, the reason for some of the delay is that the contractor actually had to undo some work and then make the corrections, but we're beyond that point now and going forward to completion.
Because you said the foundation and the roof.
We have problems at the beginning and at the end, yes, ma'am.
The foundation was corrected, the building was built. When we got to the roof situation, there was some improper installation of roof materials. It was brought to the contractor's attention. He continued to install the roof, even though he had been notified. Again, that was a supervision error. That's when we actually stopped the work and called him in, and it has been corrected.
The foundation problem was corrected a long time ago, I guess.
Yes,
that's correct.
When this sort of thing happens, do they get on a list of the county?
Well, Ms. Urbana, it's not a list, but certainly...
You know what I mean?
It certainly does not help in their ability to get future work. However, we do not... In my tenure with the county, we have never debarred a firm, and we would not debar this firm because of this. I think that, again, as long as they complete the work, and it has been a difficult project, but we do expect a successful completion.
Okay, that's probably the better word. You said debar them. You mean that they don't qualify to be
There is a process under the statute where a public body can prevent a firm from actually submitting a bid at all.
Right.
And that's highly unusual, and Henrico has never taken that action against any contractor.
Okay.
Rather, we would consider the one's qualifications after they bid rather than prohibit them from bidding at all in the first place.
Mm. Okay. This is real important. We really need the animal shelter.
We do.
There's just
yes, ma'am.
No doubt at that. So.
And it will be a nice, very nice facility once it's complete.
So,
the company that you identified, that company has been around for some time from the Richmond area, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, they have, Ms. Martin.
And again, this was primarily an issue which oftentimes is the case of supervision on the particular project.
Once the owner and the president of the company was made aware of it, action was taken.
He personally has been most cooperative in getting it back on track.
Move the resolution.
I'm going to need two motions, Ms. O'Bannon.
Yes,
sorry.
County is not error-free on this one, as Mr. Proto pointed out. The paper has an error in it.
Oh,
and so a motion to amend the paper would be in order.
Okay.
to correct, Mr. Proto. Would you restate the correct figure, please?
The board should delete the figure in the last sentence on the paper of $257,359.25, which should read $237,359.25. It was $30,000.
And I have made that correction. It is the same figure that's in the whereas is now.
Yes, sir.
And now, therefore, be it resolved, $237,359.25.
So do we want to make that
amended.
An amended
yes, ma'am.
Resolution?
Please, yes, ma'am.
Do you want to call it 408A, or should we...
That's not necessary, Ms. O'Bannon. All you need to do is make a motion to amend the paper, by including the revised figure that Mr. Proto and Mr. Hazlett just read to you.
Right.
All right. First, I move that we amend Resolution 408-07 to have the correct figure.
Okay. All right. Have a motion by Ms. O'Bannon.
Second.
Second by Mr. Thornton. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We have a motion on the approved.
Next, I move the resolution 408-07 as amended.
Second.
Move accept.
Motion by Mrs. O'Bannon, second by Mr. Caffey. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 409-07. This is an introduction of ordinance. This is to amend and reordain section 23-231, titled Authority of the County Manager. Section 23-232, titled Use of Water During Water Emergency. Section 23-233, titled Notice of Declaration of Water Emergency. And Section 23-234, titled Reserve All of the Code of the County of Henrico to Permit Mandatory Restrictions on the Use of Water from the County's Public Water System Under Certain Conditions and to Establish Penalties for Violations.
Okay.
Mr. Petrini.
We discussed this in work session,
yes,
Chairman.
Yes,
I'll move the introduction. Okay.
Motion by Mr.
Second.
Caffey. Second by Ms. O'Bannon. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 410-07 is a resolution. This is for signatory authority. This is an amendment to the engineering services agreement for Whitman, Rackport, and Associates for the Wilkinson Road Area Water Mains.
Move resolution.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Thornton. Second by Ms. O'Bannon. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 411-07 is a resolution for signatory authority. This is for award of construction contract for the Wilkinson Road Area Water Mains, Phase 2.
Move resolution.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Thornton. Second by Ms. O'Bannon. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 412-07 is a resolution. This is signatory authority. This is award of a construction contract for the Springfield Road Landfill Public Use Area Improvements.
Move the resolution.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Caffey. Second by Ms. O'Bannon. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 413-07 is a resolution for signatory authority. This is an amendment to the engineering services agreement for the 4 Mile Creek Trunk Sewer Rehabilitation.
We discussed that.
Yes, we did.
Move the resolution.
Motion by Mr. Caffey, second by Ms. O'Bannon. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 414-07 is a resolution for signatory authority. This is for purchase and sale agreement of wetlands mitigation credits for the 4 Mile Trunk Sewer Rehabilitation Project.
Mm-hmm. We didn't discuss that, did we?
We did not in general.
What's the general text on it?
It is associated with the 4 Mile Creek Trunk repair. It is for contract 6A that the board approved at the last board meeting. There was 9 areas that had wetland impacts. So to mitigate the wetlands, we're proposing a purchase and sale agreement to Chickahominy Environmental Bank in Charles City County to, as per regulatory requirements to offset the impacts.
For how much?
$27,092.
For 9 acres?
For 9 areas. A total of
0.521
wetland credits, which is equivalent to 0.521 wetland
credits. Move the resolution.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Caffey, second by Ms. O'Bannon. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 415-07 is a resolution for signatory authority. This is special project service agreement for disaster recovery services. Mr. Petrini.
Yes, sir. This and the next board paper are complimentary. This one is for the disaster recovery services through CVWMA. They went out with a bid for all the communities that are part of CVWMA, and anyone can enter into agreement with CVWMA to use their successful proposer. They have qualified Pinnacle LLC and DRC Emergency Services, who will serve as contractors for CVWMA. We can hire through CVWMA, we can use their services as per their agreement. and they can do the major points as listed here: clear roadways, make travel lanes passable, collect debris. They can grind, they can mulch, they can remove tree stumps. It's a 5-year term ending June 1st, 2012, with 1 5-year renewal, which matches the term of the following board paper, which is for the management of this contractor.
Is,
we recommend approval.
Is this the type of thing where they follow very strict rules so that we can be reimbursed
yes.
by FEMA? So
exactly.
That's their contract.
Yes, ma'am. They follow all the FEMA requirements. This is simply setting these contractors in availability in conformance with FEMA regulations.
Right.
Yes.
Didn't we have Grubbs Emergency
yes,
Services?
Yes, sir. We did.
So they're not the bidding anymore?
They were not successful in this proposal.
Okay.
Grubbs was a FEMA-approved contractor who was working up and down the East Coast. In this particular instance, the Central Virginia Waste Management Authority went out and negotiated or got these proposals. So this is probably lower, but is acceptable to FEMA, which is the main criteria.
Do we know what's really lower?
I don't know how Grubbs was involved with this process.
We don't
is that what
know.
You're asking? I don't know.
One thing is, are we getting a good deal because we're part of this?
Well, these were the successful proposers through their process. So this was, just like we would pick the top-ranked firms. They did the same thing.
Well, we haven't had such a service agreement before. Have we?
Not like this.
This is new. Just in case we have another disaster.
I was going to say, the other, I remember some problems.
So how much does it cost us just to be
on
standby?
It doesn't cost us anything. It says, as the board paper states here, they're going to charge, for instance, collect debris, $7.65 to $8.92 per cubic yard of collected debris. They're going to operate mulch, depending on the size of a coarse or medium or fine, different prices. So it's all preset. So if you ask them, you know what you're getting into.
Do we have to provide areas for them to be able to handle this debris like we did with Grubbs?
I believe we would work with them, and yes, I believe we would.
We had to travel pretty quick to find places.
We did.
That would be included as part of a countywide debris management plan that I've talked to Anna McRae. She's working on that on a countywide basis. This is just for the contractor, but those questions you're asking are more broad.
Right. Okay. Are there terms for removing these trees and something all that too? Is that
yes.
dependent on the...
Yes, sir. Are that in this agreement? Yes, sir. Look at the fourth bullet. Remove trees, tree stumps, cut and toss leaning trees, and clean drainage easements under the terms of the contract.
Okay.
But the terms are based on the size of a tree, I guess, or whatever.
Yes, sir. I don't have the agreement with me.
Yes, they would be, Mr. King, in conformance with FEMA standards.
Right.
And that was the hand in glove of the question I asked, and the manager said their problems were with FEMA, not with necessarily.
FEMA made a number of representations that they would pay for items, and as we continue through this process, that has somewhat changed from time to time.
So.
We probably pay more for the last one than we did than these terms are, don't we, in terms of debris?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. So move the resolution, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Right.
Motion by Mr. Cackney, second by Ms. O'Bannon. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
The companion paper Ms. Bertrini spoke to, this is a resolution for signatory authority. This is a special project service agreement for professional debris management services. They manage the activities we just approved as far as the recovery services. You have to have an enormous amount of documentation and approval.
Yes, sir. As you notice, the third bullet to speak to that point, prepare backup documents for FEMA reimbursement of the work performed by the disaster recovery contractor, exactly for that purpose.
Okay.
But is there any cost in signing this agreement?
If you look at the following paragraph, their work is an hourly basis, fee
right.
vary based on hourly work.
Not until we incur the service.
Not until you incur the service.
Great.
Move the resolution.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Cackney, second by Ms. O'Bannon. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Item token.
Do we know how much FEMA still owes us?
Daily.
That's a pretty good idea. They owe us $800,000 outside of an appeal that we have for Three Lakes Nature Center.
Is that all?
Yes, sir.
So
it's coming down, Ms. Gagley. We are receiving, and of course it goes back into your fund balance by amendment. It's coming down, but I still suspect it's $2 or $3 million.
Well, we had, that's the overall appeal that we have for the stumps, the 24-inch stumps that were, the trees that were redefined, if you will.
All right.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, 417-07. This is a resolution for award of a contract to provide for digital imagery and planimetric-based map products and services.
Now, what, I want you to say one more time about how much money this costs
less. That's fancy way of saying it.
This is a board paper which would award a contract to American Company to basically fly the county to update our digital imagery for our GIS system. The total cost of this contract is about $573,968, and 10 years ago the cost to do this was $1.3 million. The cost has come down to more than half of what it was 10 years ago. We would anticipate beginning flying in February or March of this year with deliveries of the imagery beginning about August time frame and running into the fall.
You just quoted a figure that's different from the one in the paper.
$573,987.
You said 963.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm just going to make sorry. Sure we don't.
I use different numbers in pre-board too. So.
You did the same thing in pre-board.
I just want to make sure it's the same thing.
Yes.
So it's half, less than half?
Less than half, yes, ma'am.
Any idea about why it's less than half? I think it's great, but any ideas why?
Just improving technology.
Technology's improved.
We can tell them they're not charging us enough.
No.
Mr. Priest, it's kind of late in the game, but I think we discussed the issue of the Richmond Regional Planning District Commission discussed combining services for this type of operation. Is there any potential there to be explored?
Yes, sir, there is. Mr. Fraunfelder was involved in that, and as a matter of fact, he, at the request of the district commission, prepared a number of recommendations with goals and objectives to pursue, which are under consideration by the Richmond Regional, and that was done in July of this past year. So it has not been finalized and brought forward, but we do anticipate some regional cooperation with respect to GIS and possibly this in the future.
Okay. But not in terms of this particular contract.
Your problem, Ms. Cackley, is you need to fly in February because the leaves are off the tree, which is when we get the topo information. Otherwise, you should wait till next year.
Okay.
So this is going to be done in flyovers in February?
February and March time frame, yes.
And you said it would be prepared, ready in
September. Then they'll deliver the imagery in four deliveries, and probably beginning in about August of time frame, we'll start getting those deliveries.
All right, that's what you said.
Move
the resolution.
Motion by Ms. O'Bannon, second by Mr. Thornton. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 418-07 is a resolution for the acceptance of roads.
Move the resolution.
Motion by Mr. Cackney.
Second.
Second by Ms. O'Bannon. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
No other items, Mr. Chairman.
No other items. We will adjourn. Good evening.
11:11.